I'm Manny Pacheco, and I truly appreciate you spending an hour with Forgotten Hollywood. I've written an award-winning book series I'd like you to own and read that shares America's story through eyes of actors from Hollywood's golden age. And Joe Lyons will conjure up another On the Backlot Report. No composer, save George Gershwin and Cole Porter, has had more music featured in cinema and television than Edward Kennedy Ellington, or simply Duke. His career spanned over 50 years, leading his orchestra from 1923 until the day he died. Due to his inventive use of big bands, and thanks to the eloquence and charisma, he's generally considered to have elevated the perception of jazz to an art form on a par with other traditional genres of music. As a youngster, he began taking piano lessons despite the fact he wanted a career in baseball. An early admirer was President Theodore Roosevelt, who met him while horseback riding through Washington, D.C. One of Ellington's mentors was Fats Waller. Black and Tan Fantasy was featured in a 1929 two-reeler. His music was also in a short called The Mooch, but he didn't receive screen credit. Forgotten Hollywood, though, acknowledges his initial cinematic work. Manny Pacheco here, and today I'm playing some rare tunes from Duke Ellington. This is Forgotten Hollywood. In an earlier program, I mentioned the maestro is credited for creating the term swing to describe a music genre. I have a tune here that was prominent in many films over the decades. It was debuted in a Betty Boop animated feature. More recently, it was part of an Ella Fitzgerald 2007 documentary. In between, It Don't Mean a Thing If It Ain't Got That Swing is part of the lexicon of American standards. You're tuned to Forgotten Hollywood.
Possessing something sweet. Now it ain't the melody and it ain't the music. There's something else that makes this tune complete. Yes, it don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. Well, don't mean a thing. All you got to do is sing. It makes no difference if it's sweet or hot. Just give that rhythm everything you got. Yes, don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. It don't mean a thing, don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing, boy. I said don't mean a thing, and all you got to do is sing like la 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 la. Thank you.
I'd give for that wonderful phrase. To hear those three little words, that's all I'd live for the rest of my days. And what I feel in my heart, they tell sincerely. No other words can tell it half so clearly. Three little words, eight little letters, which simply mean I love you.
The Rhythm Boys, accompanied by the Duke Ellington Orchestra, performed Three Little Words in the Amos and Andy film, Check and Double Check. His appearance helped propel Ellington into the national spotlight, despite his distaste over white actors in blackface. This is Forgotten Hollywood. I'm Manny Pacheco, the master. Duke Ellington is our focus today.
Thank you.
Pacheco here on Forgotten Hollywood. Duke Ellington was the go-to artist in the creation of race film shorts popular in African-American neighborhoods. Rockin' and Rhythm was first recorded in 1931 at the Cotton Club. One of the finest tunes was composed in 1930. During Hollywood's studio era, Mood Indigo was used in many films. It has reemerged over the years in such movies as Paris Blues, The Untouchables, The Legend of Bagger Vance, and in the miniseries Mildred Pierce in 2011. It was also played over the closing titles for the movie The Cotton Club. A piece that became popular as the United States entered World War II was called The Bugle Call Rag. The song appears in several Hollywood films, including the big broadcast of 1937, Orchestra Wives, Stage Door Canteen, The Benny Goodman Story, and The Aviator. Here's Mood Indigo and Ellington's rendition of The Bugle Call Rag on Forgotten Hollywood. Thank you. Forgotten Hollywood is engaging in a litany of fine movie music courtesy of Mr. Duke Ellington, Manny Pacheco with you. Surprisingly, the composer's signature hit has barely made it to cinema. Take the A-Train was composed in 1939, and it captured the imagination of a nation. It's arguably the most famous to emerge from the collaboration of Ellington and Billy Strayhorn. It was notably used in the Robin Williams vehicle, Moscow on the Hudson, in 1984. Despite its lack of love from Tinseltown, we honor this terrific composition from the 1943 motion picture, Reveille with Beverly, on Forgotten Hollywood.
Can't you hear the bells will hum? If you should miss
Juliana.
The A train.
Juliana.
You.
Juliana.
That's the quickest way to get to Harlem.
Juliana.
Turn, I've got a collection of delightful tunes for you from the Cotton Club, the ultimate homage to Duke Ellington. Hi, I'm author Manny Pacheco. Son of Forgotten Hollywood Forgotten History is the brand new book telling America's story through the eyes of actors from Hollywood's golden age, including Frank Morgan, Marjorie Main, and Andy Devine. Son of Forgotten Hollywood Forgotten History features iconic cinema, including The Maltese Falcon, High Noon, and The Hollywood Canteen. The original Forgotten Hollywood Forgotten History has been the recipient of the gold medal at the 2010 World Book Awards and has been added at the prestigious libraries of the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences and the American Film Institute. You can purchase both paperbacks on Amazon and at selected Barnes & Noble bookstores. And you can download the first book to your virtual library as an ebook for your Kindle, Nook, or on your favorite e-reader through Sony or Apple. The Forgotten Hollywood book series makes a perfect gift for a family member or friend. Visit ForgottenHollywood.com or on Amazon and pick up or download a copy of these books today.
And now, back to Forgotten Hollywood.
Thank you.
Glad you're spending treasured time on Forgotten Hollywood. I'm Manny Pacheco. Our radio show makes strange bedfellows. Case in point, famed PBS documentarian Ken Burns and the creators of the popular television reality program Dancing with the Stars. They're just two television producers that have decided to dip into the Ellington grab bag. And why not? His music still resonates in this new century. Let's check in with the maestro. Thank you.
I'm Joe Lyons. Welcome to this week's visit to On the Backlot. The Backlot hasn't seen such a financial boon in years. Superhero movies are paying many bills. 12 Years a Slave may win awards, but Iron Man and the Avengers are bringing in the dollars. This is strange because it had begun to look like those Cape Crusaders were going to be a losing proposition. To be fair, these heroes go back to the 30s. Almost as soon as they showed up in the comics, someone in Hollywood thought they'd make good box office. Batman and Superman were made into Saturday morning serial cliffhangers. Television jumped in, giving us Superman in the 50s and Batman in the 60s, but it wasn't until 1978 that Christopher Reeve hit the big screen to prove that a man could fly. Unfortunately, the wheels came off in the sequels. By the fourth one, the thrill was gone. Same was true years later when Tim Burton took the Batman franchise. Number 4 ended the attraction. I always thought that was strange because Batman number 4 had George Clooney behind the mask, along with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Uma Thurman as the bad guys. Wasn't until years later when Christopher Nolan took over that Batman gained a newer and better reputation. But Superman was tried again in 06 and lost about $78 million. Nolan came back a couple of years later and revived The Man of Steel. At the same time, Stan Lee's Marvel Comics were finally showing some ticket sales. Spider-Man, Hellboy, and Ghost Rider made money. Lee had told me in an interview back in 1982 that he was planning on bringing the Marvel Comics stable to Hollywood. But even he had some failures. The first Hulk movie, with Ang Lee directing, was not well received, and many people were unimpressed with the Fantastic Four. Also, a long list of disappointments were Ben Affleck as Daredevil, Jennifer Garner as Elektra, The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen with Sean Connery, The Green Lantern, and most recently, the last remake of The Lone Ranger with Johnny Depp as Tonto. So, the new Superman and Batman, along with Spider-Man, Iron Man, the X-Men, and the Avengers are responsible for summer popcorn sales nationwide, but they are the tail end of a long and expensive series of disappointments. And so, Manny and Steve, the barn door is open. Powerful defenders of truth, justice, and the American way will be coming in bunches to a theater near you. Will they be the great success that we've seen lately? Or will they go the way of film noir detectives and westerns and other old and fondly remembered film genres? That's my question this week on The Backlot.
Thank you, Joe Lyons, for this week's venture on The Backlot. And to our producer, Steve Guzman, you've tickled the production ivories with such perfection. Let me leave you with one of the finest scores ever created for a motion picture. The iconic courtroom drama, Anatomy of a Murder, featuring a cutting-edge screenplay ably directed by Otto Preminger. The film starred James Stewart, Lee Remick, Ben Gazzara, Eve Arden, George C. Scott, Arthur O'Connell, and the real-life judge who took on Joe McCarthy with great success, the Honorable Joseph Welch. Duke Ellington made a memorable cameo. Not bad for a fella from Washington, D.C. On a personal note, I met Duke months before he died while visiting Disneyland. He had just finished performing Take the A-Train, and he was a perfect gentleman. I was 16 years of age. I'll never forget the moment. Join us next week for another edition of Forgotten Hollywood. And remember, let's never forget. I'm Manny Pacheco. Yeah.